62, Part 3 Meditation, 3.1. Do not just believe what has been spoken, but instead investigate into all of the Dharma or truth as advised by the Buddha via constant reflection, contemplation, and inquiry into all Dharma to fully understand the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths as taught by the Buddha. Once you have developed the three types of corresponding wisdom, you will know how to free your mind and later share your understanding with others so that you too can be a blessing to all. Thought is response to memory. So memory is thought based and is of the past. Hence, when you cultivate based on memory, which is thought and knowledge based, you cannot possibly realize a state that is beyond thought and beyond time. With knowledge which is not wisdom, you tend to be rigid in your view and you tend to use words, interpret them according to your views and opinion. You will also have the tendency to argue with people and perceive things as right and wrong. 3.2. The forerunner efforts within the Noble Eightfold Path.
This forerunner effort, you have to develop the understanding so that you can do it, apply it in the meditation. Otherwise, you cannot purify your defilement or your thought process. So the forerunner effort, maybe I will read to you, then you can understand. According to the Noble Eightfold Path, under right effort. So this right effort, if you really go through the Noble Eightfold Path, they call it Samavayama, Samavayama. Vayama is not virya, please. When they translate the five spiritual faculty, they always say the second spiritual faculty or virya is right effort. No. Right effort under Noble Eightfold Path is Samavayama. It's a different Pali word. That one is effort because it involves the unwholesome thought and the arising of wholesome thought. You understand? The first two right effort that the Buddha teaches is to arise the right effort to abandon the wrong thought or unwholesome thought that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion from arising. So it's thought-based, anasana. That's why the right effort is the correct word. We have thought, you need effort. But sati, you don't need effort, anasana. Because the effort is always from the thought, the ego. That's why I say don't do, the doing. So to abandon is a doing, understand? So what the Buddha taught is a combination of understanding for one to develop it. So the first right effort, which is to abandon the wrong thought or the unwholesome thought of action, speech, and thought process that has arisen. Means when you already can like whether aware of or you already recall to another thought, understand or not? Like people used to tell me, yeah, but you are aware that I have anger. I say, are you sure you're aware? Because you get angry that time, you are not aware. Aware means at that moment you arise, your awareness is with it. But after your anger arises already, you recollect and recall, yeah, just now I got angry, I still reacted. That is the thought recalling, understand now? It's not aware. So what happened is, when either your thought recall, then you determine next time when you get angry or there is fear, you want to develop the awareness of it, Then stay with it, like what I taught you. So the Buddha taught five ways to abandon unwholesome thought. Remember? First way is what? Think of the direct opposite. That one, even if you can recollect through your memory, then you can use the first way. Think of the direct opposite wholesome thought to counter it. Because when you have the opposite wholesome thought, the other negative unwholesome thought can no longer be there. Where your mind can only have one state of mind at a time. Then the second right effort, you follow the notes, page 63, is to prevent the arising of the yet to arisen unwholesome action, speech, or thought. This needs constant heedfulness or mindfulness and the initial wisdom. That's why this one, you cannot just do like that. No way. You cannot do it. Whereas the first one, after you recall, you determine, like I said, next time when anger arises or fear arises or itchiness arises or whatever, you stay with it, endure it. It's like our four support. Relax, maintain awareness, and stay with it. Be with it. And since these are dependent originating mind state, it will come to it will come to pass. Means it will disappear, it will go away. So if you want to use the dynamic meditation that I taught you also, you can. You train until the mindfulness comes. And when the mindfulness comes, you can use this mindfulness, like the itchiness that arises, I do until it becomes continuous, then you will know how it disappears. Then the best way is still the non-dynamic one, just develop awareness based, just be with it, stay with it. Then without giving it any more wrong thought energy or negative thought energy. So this defilement, maybe anger or hatred or fear, it cannot continue to manifest. Like the Jay Krishnamurti's understand, the very flowering of that emotion or thought is the very ending of that thought. You let it flower until it cannot continue with the movement. And then suddenly you feel your heart area there, tranquility, still, peacefulness. Why? Because this is the original state of mind before the arising of the defilement. And these defilements are dependent originating. That's why you must do it the third way once. Then you will develop the understanding. And that one that comes through the direct seeing from your awareness nature is wisdom, penetrating, not knowledge. Yeah, that one awakens you. Yeah. All these mind states are dependent originating, like what the Buddha said. They are impermanent. They come and they go. So dependent originating means dependent on condition, it arises. Condition ceases to be, it ceases to be. Everything is just like that. The coming and the going, the arising and the passing away, the in and the out breath. So all this is a phenomena exhibiting that characteristics. So even you're walking, you all go and do that traditional, the Burmese one, standing, intending to walk in there, intending to lift, lifting, push you. You go and do that, I don't know, up to you. Maybe you find that more interesting, slow, suitable. You go and do. But what you need to understand is, walk naturally, understand? Naturally, at the normal pace, and yet you can be mindful. Then when you walk naturally, you know what happened now. I remember, I do the walking in 1989. I do until my body and mind become one. Then after that, you know what happened. And I just show you. The wire. Why? You see, when you walk, you just relax. Be natural. Just walk. Mindful. Every step, every movement, Ajahn Chah say, every action, every movement. So all this movement, the mindfulness will be there. Understand or not? You just walk. Then no need to like that, slowly turn. So care about it. What my teacher teach you is, you reach here, then you walk over here, then you walk back. Understand or not? Initially, you may not develop the ability to be mindful first, but never mind, just walk like playing badminton. Walk until you become very graceful, very skillful, then your body and mind as one. Those who go for a morning walk, you know. You walk until the pace, you don't feel tired and you feel good, and then you keep on walking. That means you already mindful, graceful. Then you are relaxed and no thought. But it's while you walk, you got a lot of things going on. Your walking is not relaxing. Understand? So I remember when I continue to walk, the wire not long already. So you continue to walk until you become mindful. Then you know what happened. I saw the birth and death of the footstep. You know what is birth now? The moment my step go like that, means this one born, end. Understand now? That. So the birth and the death. Then every part of my hand now, ta 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 ta, of course no sound, like the mindfulness, ta 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 ta. Everything, the awareness and the thing is one. That's why I say, the real sati is not what is described by them. Because they think by slowing down and doing all this, they become very calm, like they are mindful. That one is not the real mindfulness. But I don't deny when you slow down everything, every time, the temper, day and night, every day sitting, walking, sitting, walking. Of course you become very calm. But to me, that is not the natural sati. The natural sati is means in the midst of life, at the normal pace of life, you are aware, mindful. And then only you can be heedful in the midst of life. That's why they do all those slowing down. In the temple, maybe they feel very calm. They feel they have this sati or mindfulness, the so-called mindfulness. But the moment they come out of the retreat, they are back to square one. You realize that? You don't believe, you go and try it out and find out for yourself. That's why all this, when you understand, you will develop it. So the second right effort, I came to know, without the initial wisdom, without the mindfulness, you cannot. What is the second effort? Right effort. The right effort to abandon law. Oh, sorry, to prevent it from arising. They yet to arise from arising. You think so easy. Something disturb you, create distraction, then your habitual tendency, immediately you develop aversion, anger, you like bosong, especially between spouses, you don't have the understanding. You take for granted, you react. Then in the school also, some teacher, a lot of temperament, very hot temper. The student don't listen to them, both here, make noise. They come in, they threaten you, they whack you. So all these are habitual tendency developed. So to be able to have the ability to arise, the right effort to prevent the anger, the emotion, the fear from arising, you think easier. You can't. So that one, you need the initial wisdom. You need the Dhamma. You need so manasikara. So at the moment of sense experience, when you see something, hear something, smell something, taste something, or tactile feel something, or the thought recall something, instead of allowing the habitual tendency to arise, like phobia, fear, dislike, anger, aversion, craving, desire, or what, you can prevent that emotion from arising. These are wrong thoughts with the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. That's why when you are mindful, when you have the initial wisdom, you aware. Then when you aware, Yoniso Manaskara, the initial wisdom prompts you, Sankara Anichang, Sankara Dukkang. So no point. Get angry, suffer, for what? And everything is non-self. He know you, he know me. Like my teacher gave some very good advice. Mighty nature rolling by. Not what you think. Then like I advise you, only form and mind arguing another form and mind. That everything is not what you think. The past is already gone, future yet to come. The only reality is the present moment. But how stable is it? Where is so transient? Split second is gone. And this is the highest in life. So how real can life be? So everything come and go, phenomena, mighty nature rolling by. No reality. Then why do you have to react? Why must there be fear? Who fear? What fear? You realize it's the thought fear. When you are aware, there is no fear, understand? Then when you understand, he know you, he know me, there is nothing to fear. Fear of that, who? The thought. The thought that deludedly cling onto the fire aggregate, thinking that this physical body is you, that's why it's scared. There is fear. So all this understanding is needed. That's why I put here, this second right effort need constant heedfulness or mindfulness and the initial wisdom. So to prevent the arising of the yet to arisen defilement or unwholesome thought or wrong thought, you need mindfulness and wisdom. Okay? Then the third right effort, I already told you, is to arise the right effort to cultivate the appropriate right thought, right speech, right action that you still don't have. How come it's like that? Right action, right speech, right thought. That are still not in you. That are still not in you. Means cultivate it regularly. Okay? So let's say you don't have compassion, you don't have love, you are very selfish, everything is about you, or for you or not for you, benefit your family or not, benefit your race or not, benefit your company or not. So you don't have real love, you have a lot of selfishness, understand or not? So all this you can see. So when you develop the Dhamma, you realize you have to follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, keeping the precept. So keeping the precept also demands mindfulness. Where we have to undertake the training rule to abstain. Then after that, to do good, we have to follow Noble Eightfold Path. So when you follow Noble Eightfold, you have to arise the right thought, right speech, right action. So how do you arise? Even the right livelihood. Especially right thought. In the traditional Theravada teaching, you know what they teach you as right thought? Yeah? What are the right thought that they teach you? The four? Brahma Vihara, isn't it? They only say when you have metta, the loving kindness, you have right thought. When you have compassion, karuna, you have right thought. When you have mudita, able to rejoice, you have right thought. Then when you are in a state of equanimity, that is right thought. True, we don't have evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. But are these the only right thought? All virtues are right thought, understand? No defilement, like humility, reverential salutation, respect, generosity, kindness, goodness, gentleness, sincerity. All these are right thought. Why you limit yourself to the four Brahma Vihara? That's why when you understand, you cultivate. How to cultivate? Lower your ego via understanding, he know you, he know me. Understand? No? And respect is a virtue, the benefit of respect. Fourthing grow, you exercise, you train yourself, develop mindfulness. So much benefit. And you don't want to cultivate that. So right effort to cultivate the virtue or the right thought that are not in you. So do it, like bowing, respect, greeting people gently, courteously, have gratitude towards people who have helped you, like your parents. They give you life, they provide for you, they sacrifice for you, they care for you when you are sick. Who wash your clothes? Who prepare your meals for you? Who care for you when you are sick? Everything is your parent, your mother. But don't try to argue with me when you say you have a maid. No, my mother never do anything. My maid do everything. Up to you. Then you pay gratitude to your maid. You think the maid come voluntarily. No money, no salary, you think they come. Some they come, they take salary, they abuse you. You're small, you cannot talk. So, gratitude is... What I want you to understand is that all these are right thought, wholesome thought. These are virtue, free of the evil root. And this one, do you realize that? No need money to learn one. True or not? No need to go seminar, pay thousands and thousands of ringgit to attend course. Especially investment seminar. Then some of these, what they so call investment seminar, or they call it motivation seminar, so that they motivate you, then you can be successful in your career. I would like you all to understand one thing. But don't get me wrong. You inquire and ask. If really you can make that type of money. Now a lot of money game, be careful. The returns, the income, the investment, they promise you 1 month 20% or no, not 1 year. No. And got people, you think gullible people go for it. Smart, intelligent people go for it. Doctor, professional, church people. Last time the gold crisis, you remember? Malaysia, we kena. What is the name of the company already? My classmate, the wife is a Christian now. Until the wife also convinced her. We have worked in the church, the pastor, all they know. They say, oh, my church pastor, my church, all the church member, all the wealthy, famous one, everybody is an agent, is a member. Then they sell to you, you sell to him, and then they spread. Then until my classmate hear about it, he said, you heard of this, Gekun? We are very close friend. I said, no. Then he said, really true, no. He said, 1 month, 20%, no. Then I ask you, if so good a money, the investment, do you think they need you to invest? They myself go and borrow from the bank 1 year only 5%, dump everything in. Why must they come to you? Then he scratches here. He said, yeah, why not? But very true, no, my wife. Then he tell me, the church. Then I was told, one of them was a dentist, doctor. A dentist make a lot of money. True or not? Nowadays, extractive, you know how much? No longer last time, ji jab call, sa jab call, no more. Kui pa call. Or at least pa kui call. So what happened was, he told me, he said, they really receive, no, is it? Yeah lah, I said pyramid scheme means what? The newcomer, the early bird, the sharp end there, the small number of the people who participate. These are the ones that actually make money. Make money means what? They receive the promised payment. Then later on what happened? The pyramid become bigger, more people join. Then everybody join, they invest. They pay membership fee, become agent or say, then return so good, the agent who sell to you, commission also very good. like the direct selling, you know what is direct selling or not? They got the hierarchy of reward one. The first one, like the insurance agent and then, they got overriding one now, from agent up to the top. So all this commission who pay, and they promise you 22% a month now. So I said something like, is it no, is it you scared, they give you gold now as guarantee, this gold you can take back on, is it? Means you won't lose your capital on it. Equivalent gold. Later on they found out a gold is plated on, is lead inside there. So what happened was more and more people. Then finally it grow until like money game, the pre-made so big, they cannot handle already. You know what happened? They go and count in Bank Negara, investigate, raid them. Then after that, they blame Bank Negara. Now I cannot operate the account and everything, their investment, all the gold, investment, all cannot operate. So now, no more payment. One shot, stop. Then go to office. Office also nobody already. All closed already. They cannot find anybody. Go for the agent. Agent say, I also don't know what happened now. Then, finally, Bank Negara, investigation, the news came out. Scam. 6-7 billion involved. Professional people. And later on, they found out, he said, the dentist, Isaiah, he also received the payment now. He saw so good more the payment. Then he got children going to Australia to study. Then he calculated, instead of using my reserve and saving, every month I receive 22% now. He mortgaged his house, put all his deposit, his cash, everything. He's like sailang. You know what is sailang? Play poker, one shot, sailang. So go in. I think he invested a total of 1 million inside there. Received for a few months. He said, 1 million every month, 21%. No pa gui cheng lo, chi ko gui. You know how much money? Can sponsor the children now. At first was 50,000, then 100,000, then become 1 million. Then when the thing kena scam that time, curse and swear, my hard earned money, my house also mortgage, now how, installment how to pay. Last time, 1 month 22%, close the eye also can pay. But now, cannot find people. So, don't be greedy. The logic is, if it's so good, why should they come to you? You think you're very special. You think you got a job here, you're very special. That you must be the chosen one. Now the scam very lehigh. They contact you, they say, wow, you're very lucky. You kena lucky draw. Then they say, you want to withdraw. Can. You log into this app. Pay a small fee. Then your whole account gonna scam. So don't be gullible. Try not to be tempted by all this. I don't know. I think so. Because I was told one of the founder, young fellow, 20 years old that time, he scammed the China people also. He took them down here for, they say, their seminar and all those things. Then they really enjoy, have good food, jet, durian party, everything. Then they go back home. Then after that, the whole scam came out. China people go to embassy, protest, came to here, demonstrate. So, trying to look for him. So, a lot of this type of thing. So, be careful. But, whatever it is, the Buddha say, you are born of your karma, add to your karma condition. Because last time, maybe, you part of the agent and the staff that help all these people, scam all these people, and all. Then now you become victim again. People scam you like drug addict. So take care, karma. Don't be greedy. These are evil. Okay. Third right effort, I already taught you, no need money, yeah? You can develop it, and these are spiritual wealth. Don't be greedy, go for that title, scam title, wealth. It is very easy to know that these are obvious scam, but a lot of people actually, I don't know, out of greed or what, they get drawn. So take care karma, then no condition, then you won't be one of the victims. Okay, so third right effort is very easy, yeah? Like I say, respect, gratitude, contentment, sincerity, generosity, all this you can cultivate. And as I said, you can arise the right thought that are not in you. And when you do this, when you have virtue, you are not selfish. The opposite is all gone. But when you initially don't have this virtue, people ask you to donate, is it? Why this viewer so lazy, don't want to work? Why must give to the beggar? Why must donate to the temple? The monk don't work. Every day sit in the temple, they want to receive it. You think like that, you cannot donate the generosity. Because you don't understand, and you inwardly selfish. That's why when you have the opposite selfishness, generosity cannot come out on the sudden. So in the Buddhist teaching, they have this word, they say, you not only cultivate the precept, abstain from stealing, healing, you cultivate the ennobler. You heard of this word or not? Ennobler. How many of you haven't heard of this word? Huh? All of you heard of this word? Ennobler. You cultivate the ennobler instead of just keep the precept. Like, don't kill. Means what? You undertake the training rule to abstain from killing. Understand not? This is keeping precept. I don't want to kill. Ennobler is what?
Promote health.
Promote life. Understand not? Be compassionate, save life, understand? Help people who are dying and all those things, the ennobler. Like selfishness, steal, deceive, or misappropriate. You calculate, they cultivate the ennobler is what? Generosity, understand? So all these are like the third precept. You undertake the training rule to abstain from sexual misconduct. So that one you have to cultivate the ennobler, contentment, understand not? So contentment will not allow you to do all those lustful things, selfish act to break the third precept. Breaking the third precept can be very severe. Do you understand why? Your whole marriage, family unit, been so beautiful, out of your crazy selfishness and that moment of lust or desire where you have the means, you go and get yourself entangled and commit sexual misconduct. Then what happened? When your wife come to know, the whole family unit is gone. Why are you so deluded and heedless and cannot see all this? And then after that only, develop problem, what they call, that one what?
Depression.
Mental problem. Depression. Then love suddenly become hatred. I remember some of the lady who can, quite a number, that's like during the early years, I remember, AJBA, they sent to me a lot. Suyano. Oh, serious problem. Got one almost want to commit suicide. They go to temple, nobody help them. They suddenly call Suyan one day. Then at Maharkaruna, bring the knife. They go there, want to kill herself. Then Suyan received the message. Say, wait for me. Luckily, Suyan, the monk also cannot talk to her because she already desperately. So Suyan said, don't worry. I bring you to Brother Teo. I think he can help you. Now finally, become beautiful. She recovered. She got two children. Very long story, never mind. recover beautiful. And she is now very successful, very happy. So a lot of this sort of thing. Then there was one I remember. He kenal Liu Kau Kam. Then he came, then we talked. I said, you want to develop, understand, I can share with you. So I explained karma. Then I said, you want to overcome all this, accept the right view with regards to the law of karma. Then after that, repent. Means ask for forgiveness, repentance. The moment I say that word, repent, ask for forgiveness, you know what I say or not? You ask me to ask for forgiveness from that bastard. That word come out. I said, you the one, don't need him lah. He said, whomsoever from the distant past until now, whether you knowingly or unknowingly cause any karmic negativity or suffering or misery or whatever, you would like to sincerely ask her. Yeah lah, include the bastard. So he said, I sacrificed her so many years, like gave her youth and all those things, and gave her to two beautiful children, and he, that bastard, did that to me. Become so angry, so full of hatred. I said, you got two choices. Continue to be angry, become worse and worse, suffering, misery, not only you. Do you realize your children, the two children also suffer? Or then only she starts to develop like more and more understanding. Then I say, if you don't resolve this amicably, you end up what? Divorce. After a divorce, where do you go? The anger, the hatred, that evil thought, it will project into the future. That's why karmic repercussion. Then life after life, you take revenge. Understand? Then this life, you give them trouble. Next life, they give you trouble. Then I say, why only people like you all got such karmic condition get into this problem? People without karmic condition, they are so loving, so beautiful. The whole family is beautiful family unit, harmony, everything. The great life and all. Of course, between husband and wife, there is no perfect understanding, no dhamma. In between, off and on, got some form of argument. But no problem. Understand now? Life still go on. The family unit still intact. Then some, I remember I met one quite low. He's a planner, quite a successful guy. He said he finally decided to divorce his wife. Then he married a Thai lady he met in Thailand. Then they asked him, because we all consulted together in the dinner that night. Wow, you're very lucky, divorce your wife, your problem no more. Then you got a young new wife, Thai. He said, not only that, he said, you know why I prefer this type of life? He said, my new wife very good. You know what the new wife told him or not? Well, he expect here, got all the condo, all the expat facility. The Thai wife, he said, I know your job, consultant, you planner, you will meet up with the big client, you go to entertainment. No problem. Go, he said. But remember one thing. Whatever you enjoy, don't tapau home, is it? You understand the meaning? As long as you don't tapau home, no problem, is it? then harmony. But don't quote me and say, protect you, encourage them, please. That is his version, understand? He happened to have such an understanding. Why? And you know, in Thailand, they are poor. Then you meet one who is wealthy enough to give you all the, what else you want, understand? Like my mother out of China, already out of the suffering world, understand? So to them is new wonderful life, you know. You somehow worry about he getting another girlfriend outside. Nothing to do with you. As long as he don't top up, your life is still beautiful, understand? So when you have the understanding, you know how to cope with all these things. Okay, we better continue. Third right effort finish, so that one very easy. Fourth right effort is what? To continuously arise the right effort to refine upon the wholesomeness that you already have in you. Means you develop the ennobler, you develop the perfection of it, and you're like humility, the respect. You do until you've got so much faith, so much mindfulness, that wherever you go, the moment you wake up, go to your altar, pay respect. If you are traveling, no need to worry. Buddha nature everywhere, the great being everywhere, any direction you pay respect. You already develop the reverential salutation. So develop it, refine upon it until it becomes a part of you, until you perfect that virtue. Like generosity, gratitude, contentment. Gratitude is very important. You have gratitude towards everything, like nature, the air you breathe, then the water we drink, the food that we receive. All these come from nature. That's why we have gratitude towards nature. Nature is very loving. Nature give and give. Never take. So you observe nature, you learn a lot of things, you learn a lot of virtue. So do you know nature is very patient? The tree outside, or the rock or whatever, they endure the cold, the winter. We all comfortable in our room with the warm clothing, with the blanket. You know outside, or nothing, the breeze, everything, the echo and flow. And my teacher used to say, Ajayantra say, they echo and flow until if it's like autumn already, going to winter, what they do? They shed their leaves and hibernate during winter and during spring to bud again, understand? They never complain, not like human beings, understand? Cold also complain, hot also complain. Got house, got shelter, so wealthy, so well off, still complain. Lack of contentment, understand? This type of virtue, not that. So he said, the tree, the rock, nature outside, echo and flow, they got no fear. Lightning strike also, sometimes hit the tree also, no fear. Human being, hear lightning, hear cracking sound, hear window, wind blow, panic, fear, thief coming in, then dog barking, howling, they all the memory, superstition, must be a lot of ghosts up there. Then go somewhere dark, the hair stand on end already, the non-human inside there. And then this morning, breakfast, Auntie Song, very interesting, is it early on, I cannot sleep, the room like got something. Then after she received the bit, she told me last night, sleep very well. Oh, thank you, is it? The vibration, very good. Not me, the abbot, the tapeto, but really effective, those bits. They absorb the vibration already. Okay? So that's how you do it. Okay, finish. Continue. Let me continue next bit.
Page 64, 11 Heart Sutra Class 1.1. True suchness or Ru Ru Bu Dong. Our true mind or essence of mind is always there. True suchness or Ru Ru Bu Dong in Mandarin. This is the reason why you cannot practice mindfulness or sati and you cannot try to be mindful. Because the trying and the practicing or nothing, noting and doing, etc. are always by the thought. If one does not understand this true principle of the true mind, that is the essence of mind, is already there and we don't have to do anything to be mindful. Because the moment you are silent with inner awareness, you are already naturally mindful and heedful, and you will be able to see things as they are, naturally to understand the truth and the reality arising within the moment. For it, we do not stir the mind or cause it to arise the thinking via our thicklessness or conditioning born of wrong views. Then our mind will be quiet and silent without thought. Then it can be aware of this essence of mind, which is the natural state of silent inner awareness before the knowing. Hence, mindfulness or sati, which is the silent inner awareness, will automatically shine forth from the nature within, because man can only do one thing at a time. Either you are silent and aware within with your nature or essence of mind, or you are lost in thought and is preoccupied with your activities of mind or thinking and reacting, etc. Just like the analogy of the sun is always there and its rays ever shining. But when the clouds are there, its rays cannot shine through. So similarly, your thoughts, your various emotions and reactions or stirring of the mind are like clouds obscuring your true nature or true mind from shining forth. Hence, your inability to see things as they are. To see things as they are via the direct seeing with your silent or true mind.
So this whole paragraph is very, very clear and very important. Read through it to understand it, then reflect on it, contemplate on it. Then when you understand, you become different. But these one are the Dhamma that you need to realize. These are pointers that only people who has the understanding and the Dhamma can share it with you. And actually to put it so clearly in words, not easy. So do express your lucky star, gratitude, thank your great karma, affinity with Triple Gem that you receive this teaching. And with this, it's very easy to understand. When you understand, very easy to cultivate. So I read to you this last part of the paragraph. So similarly, like the sun's analogy, the cloud, your thoughts, your various emotion, means mind state created by Sankara, and reaction or stirring of the mind from your sense-based contact, means when you become conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. These are like clouds obscuring your true nature, your awareness nature. Well, when they arrive, it distracts you and you are preoccupied with it and you create all the suffering. That's why you are lost in thought, trapped in all this. So all this emotion, wrong thought, they are like clouds that obscure your true nature or true mind and prevent it from shining forth. Hence your inability to see things as they are. Because your mind already heedless, how can you be aware to see things as they are? Your memory, like Sister Song said, so much thing to do, so much duty and all those things. Then Sui An last night also shared with me the reason why he gave up SJBA deputy president posit. He saw the Karanya Niyam Metta Sutta that MB read of little or light duty, few duty. So he luckily very smart, very determined. He feel free. Now he can handle a lot of WhatsApp groups. Oh, he help a lot of people. And it's like he learned so much. Like Brian Teo say, money in the bank is not your money. So now he buy things, he give people and all that. So this is generosity. This is understanding. Otherwise, that habitual attitude or tendency, like, you find it very difficult to be generous or not, to give and all say. You say, hard earned money, my money, I give to my daughter, why I give to other people? So you think like that, your heart cannot open up, and you lack understanding, right? Because the Dhamma not there, you forever travel. You think by not giving to others, you benefit, isn't it? In the sense that lay people look at it, you benefit, isn't it? But do you know, in the spiritual sense, the more you give, the more you receive. So you reap what you sow. So giving is a generosity. Because you give, money come. That's how I told my youngest brother. At first he don't believe. After he tried, I said, oh really, the more he donate, the more money come. The more he donate. But don't be gullible. But I still say, the more I donate, more. You go and donate all your savings. Then the money didn't come. Then you come and see me. That's why I say, don't quote me. That understanding is when you do generosity with understanding, you must have the causes and conditions to receive them too. Means you must have the right mind state, the right condition. Then money just comes. Because last time, my this youngest brother, he very naughty. He's the only brother that my mother and my father worry about. Then my mother used to tell me, she said, if the youngest one can turn around, he will be the happiest mom in the world now. Then I heard that, I know already my mother wants me to do something. So that year I went back and talked to him, and my mother, after that, became very happy. Because she actually hoped that he can turn around and become like 10% of what I am. He already very contented. But never expect this younger brother finally heed my advice, change, and now he helped a lot of people. He is involved in Suji. He don't have much education. He until form 3, then he dropped out. Last time he very naughty. He joined with the notorious people. Chaking them, see you. Chaking them, you know what is it? It's like Taikong in PJ. You know what Taikong, gangster area. All the hardcore. So, because of that, he trusted me, followed my advice. Then one day, after I helped him to turn things around, then make some money to investment, then he asked me, how you know all this? I say, you must learn the Buddha Dhamma. He said, can teach me. I say, you study the national school. Ta huan na che, read Malay newspaper, how to teach. Then he come from Chinese school, luckily, up to standard 6. I say, you go to Ciji la, Mandarin, you go to Ciji. I say, someone other star so far. So he went to Ciji. Then I say, he said, then how the money come? I remember you told me I must donate. I said, yeah, donate. Oh, he said, now I want to donate. Well, for the first time, he went and tell my father. He said, Erke, he called me the second elder. Erke told him, when he can save $10,000, go and see him. He will help, I will help him to make the money, invest for him. So he told my father. Oh, my father immediately called me. He said he got money. I say, how can he just started working not that more than 2 months, he got money, $10. He said, I lend him. Then he somehow up the thing. He said, $10,000, I $10,000, $20,000, you invest. The money never come. My father always telephone, finish. So I have to take the thing, then I invest first, thinking that the money will come, but never come. But they were lucky. That time, public bank about to grow. You remember? Their capital base, very small. Then suddenly they expand the base to 168 million. Yet low far. So they bonus right and split. Wow, that time, public bank growing. And all the Chinese, they like that bank because very efficient. 2-3 minutes you sure get served on, maximum 3 minutes. So we all in the investment community, I understand. So I say, okay, I buy public bank. On 10,000, each 20,000, you make 60,000 within 6 months like that. Then I say, already make money. He said, how much? I say 60,000, and my father got a shock. Wow, he said, so good. Then he go and tell my brother. Then my brother say, can send the money back first. Means the 30,000 don't need to send to me. I offset it. I send back 40,000. So 40,000, he got 20,000. He said, donation. Okay, donate. Oh, so generous. Suddenly he take out 20,000, he take out 10% or 2,000, he passed to me. He said, you go and donate. Then I got nowhere to donate, understand? So what I donate? Kaya mitapa. And also, whatever charity purpose or program I include, his name and the family. After that, a few months later, he called me up. Hey, money really come over there. Huh. He said, somehow the money come out. And he keep on like witnessing all this. Then he got faith in Buddhism. He got faith in what Tzu Chi do. Then he come and ask me, he said, Sangren is the abbot, Cheng Yan Pastor. He said, he got morning lecture on the Dhamma one. He said, he every time advise them to do the three things. 做好事,说好话, then think the right thought. He said, what is it? I said, 做好事 means do good. Be generous, be kind, be generous. Then I said, part of the Noble Eightfold Path. Right thought, right speech, right action. Huh? 八正道? Yeah, he said, I heard 八正道, but I don't know what is 八正道. Then the Four Noble Truths also, he said, he heard, he cannot understand. But he, through visiting me and talk to me on the phone, he understand. Then he said, I hear you describe and explain easier to understand than I hear the morning lecture. Is that morning lecture? They are both you. That's how he becomes it. Then he asked my the other brother, sister, all join church. Then all also develop the wholesomeness. So this is what Dhamma is. Not much education, but got causes and condition, affinity. We are brothers in the same family because of past affinity. That's why he has the condition to turn around and receive all this understanding and guidance. Then after that, my mother became so happy because within my family, after me, the one that have the better life is he. He become the second one. My the other brother also one electrical engineer, then my sister is a nurse, and the other one also Ta College, then the other one, my elder one, business. They're supposed to be well off also and successful, not say well. But this guy turned out better than them. Then he's so lucky, just because I teach him, then he help people, then he end up blessing. You read what you saw. The guy he helped, he loaned some money to him when he was in crisis or what. Then when he recovered, he became very successful. So he helped my brother. He became a developer. Then he told my brother, shop loan, before we loan, which unit you want, you go and talk to the GM. He will arrange for you. Then the petrol station, that piece of land, actually market price, $200 per square foot. He sell to my brother $60. Then my brother asked me, can buy? I said, buy lah. I said, you know in PJ how much? Well, I did one scheme in Puchong Prima. I said, developer sales price before transfer on secondary market, already 250 per square foot for petrol status land. So, I said, buy. Then he buy. Then after that set up the petrol station, he don't know anything. Well, he is not in this line. So he go and ask Tzu Chi people. Tzu Chi people say, oh, they got some friend. He say, they are in this line. They have been doing a lot. Well, one of them is the head of Caltech. Then when he retired, he came out and he become the like the one that actually set up station for people. So to them, he spent only about 700,000 to set up the station. In my office, got one colleague of mine who is also a remainder. He got two stations. When I told him my brother set up at 700,000, he don't believe. He said in Klang, he set up one station, 1.5 million. You don't know how to set up another. Then petrol station, because majority owned by Bumiputra, then the government recently reviewed the profit, what the incentive. One little extra 10 cents, it's a lot of money there. That's why he buta-buta, mo tintin, fatat, all this thing come. All started because of his generosity, his charity, his understanding that you should help people wherever there is condition. Do good begets good, do evil begets evil. Kindness rewarded with kindness. So all this, he witnessed. That's why he very confident. And you ask my daughter, every now and then he will go and order Musang King or the durian and send to my house. And he come down, he say, go eat, he want to belanja. But most of the time, I say, no need. Here, I belanja. There, you belanja. Then our family trust, all my father's inheritance. We set our family trust. Then every year, we use that money to give to all the children who study well, or things like scholarship and that. Then every year we go New Year or whatever, we use that money. So the whole family unit together with the niece, nephew, all very happy, very beautiful, and a lot of harmony, understanding, and like we cannot see problem. So many brothers, sisters, we extend the family, children, everything. Some of them married, the children also married. All great harmony. Where to find? Without Dhamma, you think you can have this? You can go and ask around. Everywhere got problem. The Mandarin word is what? 家家有? 很难念的经. 家家有很难念的经.
有一本很难念的经.
So you understand or not? Oh, he doesn't know Mandarin. Every family got their own. The sutra that is very difficult to chant. Means you're suffering a problem. Means every family has their own set of problems. Understand? You can go ask around a lot. A lot. Even my children tell me, is it? They look at our family, they say, we are different than you. We are like very bad. They are all translate all. A lot of them got problems, a lot of problems. Like Sui or so, is it? We got one classmate lady. I think two. The family all depend on them. And they got to support the family, the parents. Then the parent got a lot of clashes on me. Then they favor the son. They you know Chinese tradition, son more important. So no money, sister must give. He said your son sent to private school, special tuition, your brother don't have any, so expect her to support. Then there's another one, I got to buy car for the brother, buy car for the parent. But luckily, they have good salary, so they can go, but a lot of problems. So the entanglement and all those things. Then a lot of family divorce. There was one classmate of my son. The parent actually divorced. Then he at home with a sister only. The parent cannot see one, seldom come back one. So nobody take care. So he came out, he became salesman, he worked for the bank, but end up drunk, having accident, a lot of problem. Then recently, after so many years only, I saw him. But luckily now he is with the mother already, the mother. So with another brother, so they all were having, I think lunch. Chao Sang, and I with mommy met him. Then he like very shy. He came and asked about brother. I said, my son is okay. I said, he's doing very well. I said, then I cannot ask how about you, without the mother, all that. But I actually greeted the mother. Then we pay for their bill. Oh, the mother very appreciative. Oh, thank you. Thank you. So these are small things. So you can give joy and happiness to people, and it is something that I can afford. That's why whenever I see God condition, I do. And the other one is, so we are not around. SBA also got one Kayamita. He bring the mother, go to the restaurant, my wife and me always patronize on Chen Fa, Paramau Garden. Then I saw her, then she greeted me. Then after that, we pay for the bill. Wow, she was so grateful and happy. He came and tell me, he said, thank you, very dear. I said, next time I pay. He said. And then he go and call Sui An. He said he want to arrange lunch. So he took me to another restaurant and belanja me lunch. Do you know what happened? Because I did this, it created the condition for her to have gratitude and want to thank me. So he got the opportunity to invite me for lunch and my wife. So all these are affinity. They are Kayamita, they attended my Thursday class before last time. So Dhamma is not what you think of. Anything can create affinity, causes and conditions. Then how you are connected, you don't know. So when you understand all this, you will understand why Noble Eightfold Path, the Buddha say, right livelihood. You know what is right livelihood? The way you live your life can bring forth a lot of causes and conditions where you don't know who you help. When you are kind, generous, you help. You only need to like strike lottery, you know, one day. Suddenly one of them you help, is actually a spiritual cultivator, a Dhamma practitioner who has the Dhamma. You fatat already,
Anasana. There's a Chinese word,
So, a lot of things about Dhamma is the opposite of what normal human think. Okay, we continue.
According to the Sutta on Dependent Origination as taught by the Buddha, the first three links are avijja paccaya sankhara, then sankhara paccaya vijnanam, that is dependent on ignorance arises sankhara or mental thinking or activities, then dependent on sankhara or mental activities arises mind or mental consciousness or vijnanam. This is just a pure consciousness.
Where is Amy? The pure consciousness, see the word there? Or awareness before the knowing, or the perception, or the labeling, means the content of consciousness going.
This is just a pure consciousness or awareness before the knowing, or the perception and labeling, etc. There is no one to see or to perceive objective seeing. As a true sati is without the observer, there is only an awareness of the phenomenon or the impersonal process of dependent origination arising from the pure awareness or the essence of mind, which is the unconditioned and without the thought, which is part of the egoic mind. Or as per what the Buddha had often said, in the seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness, and there is no one to see or observe, because they are all conditioned arising naturally and causal phenomena. So this is the true understanding of anatta, within the dependent origination, teaching born of right view, hence no more sakkaya ditti or self-delusion. It is delusion that conditions the living beings to cling and grasp onto five aggregates of form and mind, or the mundane mind, and this is the main cause of one's suffering. And because of the first two links of dependent origination, avijja, paccaya, sankhara, every moment of consciousness, you will think and stir the mind because of your ignorance that condition your habitual tendency to think the wrong thought, and this is how one becomes hideous. So if there is no wisdom or yoniso manasikara, wise attention, at every moment of sense experience, then the mind will be conditioned into craving, Vedaling, Vedana, Pachaya, Tanha, or dependent on feeling, craving, comes to be. When there is a no wisdom or wise attention at the moment of sense experience.
Okay, very good. I have to explain the Krishnamurti concept of observer and the observer. You see, as a human being, this one normally is the condition for seeing consciousness, your eye, the organ. So here, they always say the eye see. See what? See what? Huh? External form, is it? External form. So they call this the observer. And this one is the thing that the observer observes. So the observer and the observed are these two different. Huh? If you have avijja, then you separate, isn't it? It's obvious there. You say I see, and so on. So because of sakyadity, the observer is the I, understand not? The ego. The I or the ego. That's why you say I see. So observer and the observed. Then you separate them. Understand not? After you separate them, what happened? So a lot of them who do meditation, they don't understand. They observe, they realize they have anger, understand not? They go and associate this thing that they observe as belonging to them. Understand not? So he said, I have anger. But they say they are the observer. Anger is evil root. Anger is bad. They don't want anger. So what they do? They suppress, they control, they do all those funny things. But when you are mindful, aware, the Buddha say what? In the seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness, understand not? That's why Krishnamurti came to know, actually, this observer doesn't exist. That's why he said the observer is actually the observed. You know why? This one that observed, this is consciousness, understand not? And the consciousness created mental consciousness become the observer, understand? So both are mundane mind, understand not? But when you have the direct seeing, there is no ego, pure awareness. Pure awareness that is aware of this, no word, nothing. Where got observer and the observed? They are just one, dependent, originating, understand not? Like that day, that lady said, the I see, understand not? This one is the I, E-Y-E. Then I say, are you sure? Dead man, eye open, don't see. You alive when you sleep, sometimes snoring, your eye also open, you also don't see. So, whatever that is logical doesn't mean it's right, understand not? So normally people start by saying, I see, understand? Then when I question them, who is the I? I lah. I said, no I can see or not. Oh, then they realize they are wrong. He said, my I see, understand? So that statement logical, right? My eye see that. But how do you have the understanding to prove that what he said is wrong? I already told you that you can observe through mindfulness. When you are unconscious, your eye open, you cannot see that. Even when you are conscious, if you are on the hearing or thinking, you also don't see that. That's why I alone don't see. Then you say, yeah lah, without mind cannot ma, must make contact ma. So he said, maybe he think he is smarter. He said, okay lah, my mind see. Logical na? No mind cannot see ma, my mind see. So blind man got mind or not? A blind man also got mind, you can have hearing consciousness ma, but no seeing consciousness. Ma. So blind man also don't see, understand? So he said, maybe combination. Mind and body see. Okay. You got eye, you got mind, you go into a dark room. Do you see? You also don't see it. So I alone don't see, mind alone don't see, mind and I alone also don't see. Then how does seeing consciousness come to be? The three conditions must be there. The I must be functioning. There must be a life force, the consciousness inside, understand or not? Then there must be light as a media, external form goes into the I. So it's dependent originating, understand or not? Like the physics experiment, no need God to create seeing, understand or not? It's natural, nature's process. That's why those who have the mind, they will know, observer is observed. These are both thought, understand or not? Then the awareness that is aware, got no word, no name. And this one is the oneness. It's not separate. But human being, through logic, through knowledge, separate them, understand? Then when you look at external form, you see the physical form, you say that guy, Chinese, Indian, race, gender, which we have gone through. That's why form delusion caught you, you create a lot of conflict, misery, argument through division. Race, religion, all this divide. Then gender also divide. Then when you have the direct seeing, you don't see the external form, you see beyond this form, you see the consciousness inside the mundane mind, that is still different, understand? You have your views, your opinion, there is still conflict, disharmony. So this is mind delusion now. So form delusion, you understand? If you do not pay attention to this and give meaning to this, then this one cannot actually trick you or delude you and cause you to grasp and cling. Because dependent originating, no reality. Externally so real, how do you perceive it? Through mental image, even more unreal. Then why do you grasp onto it, cling onto it, hold onto it? Understand? Not? Then when you know form delusion, you see beyond form. First you see form, then you see the unreality of form, then you can see beyond form. Then you realize there is a mind inside. The mind has its sankara, memory, views, opinion, conditioning, belief. That one can still disagree, argue, understand or not? Create conflict, misunderstanding, jealousy, hatred, all the evil root. So when you start to see all this, then you realize the mind is also not real, dependent originating, just like the consciousness. No condition, nothing arise. So these are like, the Buddha say, consciousness is like a magician, understand not? Create magic for you to see. Open your eye, arise already. Your ear, listen, real, arise already. Whatever your senses can perceive is you. To you is real, understand not? So you cling, you ground, you get entangled. We are all this create division. But when you have the direct seeing, you see beyond form, you see beyond mind, no word, nothing, you see the pure nature. That's why everything outside, even without consciousness, They are very beautiful, pristine nature. Well, they are the oneness nature. Then your awareness and the thing is actually not separate. That's why nature and you are one. Understand? You are part of nature. Understand? How can you abuse and pollute nature and expect nature to take care of you? Understand now? You destroy nature, nature destroy you. Because you are one with nature. Understand now? The oneness nature. Once you know everything is related, connected, then you know the law of karma exists. Understand now? We are all related. Now you can understand. It's not what you think. Yeah, my daughter want to add something.
I suddenly have a lot of joy because the message.
The echo, you in front there got echo.
But there was a sentence here that I wanted to point out. That maybe I use this book. So on top of page 65, there's this sentence that says, as the true sati is without the observer, there is only an awareness of the phenomenon or the impersonal process of dependent origin.
Ah, yes.
So that impersonal word strike very strong.
Sadhu. So that one will help her understand breakthrough better.
Because especially when you draw this as a
no ego.
This, by virtue of having this personality, Sakaya makes it very personal. We strike an angle when we look at something, we take a perspective. Actually, that doesn't have to be how we see things. Because if you look at it like, if a cow were to look at a grass, he wouldn't think which is more yummy. They're all blades of grass. But somehow, when a human being looks at things, this one greener than that one, they want to brown, they're all going to die. We make things very personal. We strike a stance and we take that perspective. We look at it at an angle. We know. No longer look at it like that is impartially. We are no longer impartial. So this observer that we created is actually a bias. So when I look like at bouquet of flowers there, if I like certain colors, I will say, you know, the purple is nice or the yellow is nice. But if I'm programmed myself, I can reprogram myself today. I think green is nicer. I actually don't want the flowers. I like the leaves more than the flowers. And that becomes my perspective for today. This can change. This identity, personality we create, is created by us. This is thought. We can reprogram and change this anytime. And what we see can become anything. We can say something that happened is good, something happened is bad.
So, because this observer, you realize, is the memory. Understand? We are their IT student. How you program and have a new perspective of things is the memory. Your views, your opinion, your conditioning, your belief system. Once that one change, the way you perceive things change. That's why once you have Dhamma connected to the five degree of form and mind, then the direct seeing realize everything is empty, no reality. He no you, he no me. And then the whole phenomenal world become different. The form, external form, illusion of form, no more. It collapses in front of you. You have no power over you. Understand? Then the thought delusion also, the mundane mind. Also, through the direct seeing, you realize no such thing. Everything is created by the mundane mind. Understand? Through the existential world, duality. Understand? Duality is the thing that divides things and create conflict, misunderstanding, disharmony. That's how we get entanglement in the world. Suffering. So observer is where the memory is. That's why when you are here, hell, understand not? You are here, don't say heaven, this is not heaven. This is your nature, your oneness nature, and everybody has this nature, the Buddha nature. So this is how the Dhamma becomes so different from ordinary religious teaching. And
continuing from there, then this becomes very unreal. Who I think I was is when you peel this, like the sankara, the banana stem, right? You peel until the end, it's empty. It's whatever I want to program myself to be. So, how I want to see things, I might as well see things in a happier world. I mean, keep my mood positive. Whatever I see, I choose to see the silver lining. someone hit something, or he has his reasons, or he had a really bad day, or if whatever bad thing that happened, I choose to see that there are good things that will result in the end because he went through this. So there are ways we can reprogram ourselves to see things so differently and make life a lot better. So it doesn't have to be a correct view of the world. That you have to see the world this way because, you know, the news is like that. People think it's like that. If you think any other way, you are weird. But if I think like the rest of the world, I'll only be unhappy. So since this whole thing is not so real, it's impersonal, I might as well look at the world
that's
in
why
a happier way.
What she is telling you is how to actually change or modify the way you see things or not. You remember what I told you in the past or not? I've been sharing all this. Is there such thing as a problem in this world? You sure say God or what? Problem everywhere, right? The first number through, prevalence of dukkha. Correct? But when you have the Dhamma, when you have the understanding, there is no such thing as a problem in this universe. Why? It becomes a problem when you perceive it with negativity. The way you perceive it, this is what my daughter is trying to tell you. Your perspective of things, how you. So he said, if you see things as they are with the right perspective, means without negativity, then no more problem, isn't it? No more problem is what? He like IT, you input the good one come out. So when he tried to perceive things with a silver lining, what he mean is from wholesomeness, understand? So that no negativity. But what the Buddha teach is beyond that, understand? Because wholesome is no negativity, that's why no more problem. But what the Buddha think is to see things as they are. Means, whatever that arise, you may call it a problem or whatever, that is the reality, understand? See things as it is. Whatever that arise, there are causes and conditions behind. So this is the reality, suchness. So when I have this ability to see the way it is, then I can free my mind. Then I will not stir, I will not react. So no need to develop. The initial phase may be the silver lining, right perception, help you to like not to react and stir and create negativity. But the wisdom behind that observation is no need to make everything into a silver lining. Because the penetrative wisdom is they are just the way they are, understand? Then no more problem. Then you don't need to say, don't go and see until so pessimistic lah. Don't perceive it in negativity lah. Maybe blessing in disguise lah, understand? Of course it helps, understand? It will help. Brother say maybe blessing in disguise. But I say that is because they are trapped in the mundane existential world, understand? So you say blessing in this guy means you give them hope, understand? Don't panic. But the next moment, that fear of dying, fear of whatever, the first noble true reality will come back one now. Then he don't believe, where got blessing in this guy? My health problem, no. I am so sick, no. Cancer, no. Doctor say 6 months life, no. I wait for somebody to come and help me. What I am trying to tell you, blessing in this guy, you don't get sick, you don't get terminal, you don't become desperate, you don't come and see me and ask me about the Dhamma, you won't learn the Dhamma. This is a blessing in this guy. Not to tell you that because of this blessing in this guy, your disease will be gone. No. It's because you have problem, that's why you come to religion. Then you got affinity, somebody like Sui An bring it to you, to me. And then, depend on your past, your coming, understand? So when you have that Dhamma, you no need to use all these skillful means to help people. For your own, you must have the understanding, the direct seeing, seeing things as they are. When you accept, you are at peace. No more negativity, no stirring, nothing. Then you act with what? Noble Eightfold Path. With the understanding. Law of karma means they are just the way they are. Deluded people do deluded things. Ignorant people do ignorant things. Selfish people do. So I accept them for what they are. I do not perceive him with negativity. I'm at peace. I don't have to think of silver lining to like make myself better. Maybe he doesn't mean what he say. Maybe our anger he do like that. No need to justify like that, isn't it? He is the way he is. Finish. Understand? Then the world is the world. Condition like that, things will be. So everything fall into place. No? But this is the wisdom that can apply to all cases, all circumstances. Whereas that one is still a little bit of contemplative, which is helpful, but not the direct seeing, penetrative one, like the pure observe, the objective seeing, sorry, the word is object. There is no ego behind. No, they call it opposite of objective seeing is subjective seeing, the one with the subject. That one is egoic, deluded, sakyavidhi. Objective seeing means no being there, nobody there, just that direct seeing, seeing things as they are. So that word seeing things as they are is very important. How can you have that understanding? And the answer I give to you all, no, if you were to find out yourself, investigate, I tell you, take how long, I don't know. It can be very, very long. Tan and tan, tan jing gu. They say Tan Chin Nam, he got a brother called Tan Chin Gu. Then they established a company called Tan and Tan. You go there, you have to prepare to wait and wait. So all these are good sharing, good understanding. Rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, I think about time for lunch. Oh, exactly 12 o'clock. Good. So we just pay our respect, and you can break off for lunch.